Welcome to Talk World Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week on Talk World Radio, we are welcoming back our friend Dennis Kucinich, former standout member of the United States Congress and possibly future member of the United States Congress, currently running for Congress in Ohio. Dennis is also blogging regularly on Substack. You can read his writings there. Dennis, welcome back to Talk World Radio.
David, it's great to join you, and thank you for your ongoing commitment to a peaceful and a sane world.
Well, I can't tell you how many times in recent years I've wished that there were a Dennis Kucinich or even half a Dennis Kucinich back in the United States Congress. There have been times when something was needed and nobody was doing it. And I want to ask you about various of those. But I want to start with what you've been writing about most recently, efforts to make selective service or draft registration for 18 and up males automatic nationally. What's your concern there?
Well, you know, right now, all 18-year-olds are required by law to register for selective service.
If they're male.
Pardon?
If they are male.
Right. Right, if they're male. In the National Defense Authorization Act, when it was in the Armed Forces Committee, a Democratic member of that committee submitted an amendment that was adopted by a voice vote, which provided that the registration for selective service would be automatic, which for all 18 to 26 year olds, which means that anybody, any male 18 to 26, would automatically be thrown into this pool. That's 16 million young people. And with today's databases and the government working with the private sector, having the ability to track anyone, anywhere, we create a whole new surveillance for military service. Anytime someone wants to just reach out and grab somebody and call them up. Now, there's constitutional issues here, David. It's Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment issues with this automatic registration. I mean, it's a new feature of the relationship between government and the individual. This whole idea about conscription or even the setting up an infrastructure for conscription and through automatic registration really raises serious questions about the intentions of the government. Now, this amendment passed the committee, and it was included in the bill that passed the House of Representatives. It is now, this proposal is now before the Senate. Now, in the Senate companion committee, the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, extended a provision to include 18 to 26-year-old women, which means for the first time, a woman would be subject to not only the draft, but also with this feature of automatic registration that came through the House, you'd have 16 million American young males and 16 million American young females, a total of 32 million Americans, subject to automatic registration and selective service. Now, with the United States being involved in forever wars, and with the budget of the United States increasingly dedicated to wars, with the people enlisting, enlistment in the armed services going down. Matter of fact, I think there's one study that said enlistment is down by 41% since 1987. The all-volunteer army is shifting. Right now, the administration is busy involved in hiring private contractors, the Blackwaters of the world, or whatever they call themselves now, to go ahead and fill the military needs for wars that we don't need to be involved in. So this is a, you know, I called the public's attention to this because this is an evolving development in the militarization of our nation. And for people who say, well, it's no big deal. You just get automatically registered. You have to register now. Oh, it is a big deal because with, again, today's databases, it actually opens wide the aperture of a surveillance society.
Well, I agree with you that it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal because there are reasons they might want to have an actual draft. But I think, and it may be harder to avoid them by changing where you live and not reporting your change of address. They may be following you night and day. But I do think we should be clear. This is not a draft. This is draft registration. And I think about two-thirds of states already have it automatic, whereas only about a half of states have automatic voter registration. It tells you something about priorities in this country. And I don't think Congress is making any moves to universalize voter registration being automatic, just draft registration. But I think this is just making national what the majority of states already do. You get a driver's license, they register you for the draft if you're a male. But what I find very interesting is that the Congress and the courts have long since concluded that to be constitutional, they have to either add women or drop out men. They can't have draft registration just for men. They have to either stop it or add women. And yet they don't. They just proceed in what they view as the unconstitutional practice of just registering men. Obviously, you and I disagree with the good liberals in the U.S. Senate on which solution would be better.
Well, the you know, from the foundation of the country, this whole idea about conscription is something that was frowned upon by the founders. And while it is registration and not a draft, you can't have a draft unless you set up the infrastructure. And with the infrastructure being, as you call it, universalized, it changes everything. And with the government then setting up through selective service and through the ability to track people, that's unparalleled. There's no way to effectively protest this movement, and the best protest right now is legislatively through this through these automatic registration requirement, this automatic registration requirement not even being in the bill. And it's just the timing of it, David, and it's this government's unquenchable thirst for more war that concerns me. Because people would say, well, you know, again, it's no big deal. But it is, because the last time we had universal automatic registration for a draft was, I think, in 1940. No, excuse me. It was during the Vietnam War. About a third of the people who were drafted then ended up not being able to go home. You know, they were killed.
Indeed. And they killed a lot more people in Vietnam. Dennis Kucinich, one of the things that has troubled me the most is the incredible ongoing increase in military spending, which we have seen just relentless on a steady upward climb through administrations as parties change. It doesn't seem to make the slightest difference. Every year, President Biden proposes a big increase and Congress adds another big increase on top of that. But what I was startled by was a couple of years ago, the Democrats in the House were upset about something that was in the bill, which they called the Manchin Dirty Oil Deal. And they said, no, we're going to vote no. we're even going to vote no on the rules vote to bring the thing to the floor because we might actually win there unless this dirty oil deal is taken out. And it worked. And they got the thing taken out. And then they passed the bill with the dramatic increase in money for mass murder that they had no qualms about. But would it be possible, if you were in Congress, maybe, to organize maybe three or four of these people who claim to be against increases in military spending to actually vote no unless the military spending is decreased? It's never happened. Is it possible?
Well, it should be possible. When you see that there's a couple of factors here. One is that military spending is taking a increasingly larger percent of the discretionary budget. When you couple it with the intelligence budget, which is essentially militarized as well, we're over $1 trillion. I mean, the bill in the Senate is over $900 billion, but we're way over $1 trillion a year. And you look at it from the discretionary budget, it's way over 50%. And what that means is that we have a militarization of the country going on. You can't be spending that kind of money and have it not affect the consciousness of the nation. And so we are now at a point where when you put that together with the forever wars, America's essentially a military machine in the form of a republic. And it has, notwithstanding the admonition of, I think it was John Adams, been roaming the world looking for dragons to slay. And more than that, looking for resources to grab. This Leviathan, which has become our nation, was never intended to be this way. And yet we are now at a point where it is pervasive in all areas of our lives. And it's not the country that we envisioned in our youth. And and we're seeing it now through a glass darkly.
But what can be done by Congress members? I know what I can do. I'm not in Congress. I'm not trying to get in Congress. I can yell and scream and educate people about it. But what can Congress members do? Because the good ones, the ones that I think mean well, have this bill called People Over the Pentagon, and they try to get it in as an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act and fail, but it would cut 10%. But they've been introducing this thing year after year while the military spending has soared 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%. And were they to actually pass it someday, you could just increase the military spending by 10%, and then this extra bill would cut that 10%, and you'd be nowhere. And yet this is all they do. They won't say, I'm going to vote no and try to get my colleagues to vote no on the actual military spending bill. And I'm trying to understand why not. And I'm trying to ask you if you would ever do such a thing.
Well, I perhaps in my first year in Congress, in the first vote that came up, I may have voted for a defense authorization or military spending. Once I rather quickly learned what the game was there, I didn't vote for another one, David, not a one, all the way through to the time that I completed my service in the House 16 years later. And so members of Congress can, first of all, it starts in committee. You can say no, you can vote against the bill. That's one choice that you have. You can offer amendments to strip money from a bill. You can offer amendments to transfer funds at some point. But here's what happened. Every congressional district has defense contractors. And those defense contractors regularly go to visit members of Congress with the story of how many jobs are created and the money that goes into the district. So that has an impact often with individual members. I was on a government oversight committee, and we would get regular reports from the inspector general. When I first started in Congress, and this is what got me to look at this defense budget in a way that I maybe hadn't before I was in Congress. The first meeting that I was at was a presentation by the Inspector General for the Department of Defense. And this report that was presented said that the Department of Defense, which was in 1997, had over $1 trillion worth of accounts it could not reconcile. That the department had over 1,000 different accounting systems. The whole thing is set up so people don't know what's going on. The whole thing is set up to be able to hide money, to be able to eliminate any accountability. And once you have a massive budget set up, it's set up so the programs keep going, which is why it keeps expanding. The whole logic of it is moving America in a direction of a wholly militarized society, crowding out all kinds of domestic priorities. This is a major problem for who we are as a nation. And, again, it's the reason why, as I saw it on a continual basis, the reason why I could never vote for these budgets. There's another thing, too. If you look at any of the reports that have been done on the contracting for the Pentagon, the taxpayers are getting absolutely hosed. There's cost run-ups by a factor of sometimes 20 times. The taxpayers are paying for things that you're getting gouged is what it amounts to. And, this goes way beyond the days of, yesteryear when people talked about, $400 hammers. Right now, the taxpayers are getting hammered with these contracts that are going out, and there is no oversight. This is the thing that that needs to be understood. So these big military contractors are free to charge the government whatever they want, and they do. And if you look at the defense stocks, you look at Northrop Grumman divisions of Boeing, you go across the board at all the defense stocks, they're all up, 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 okay? They're swimming in money. And that's and so much of it is just it's just being stolen from the people. I mean, that's another dimension of this, that the corruption that takes place when there's these great amounts of money that are being spent through military contracts. And in addition to that, it's the corruption that takes place when you send billions of dollars to a country like Ukraine and money's just being stolen. I mean, it's what happened in Iraq. It happens everywhere. We put tons of money out. Smedley Butler famously quoted, "War's a racket." It's a big money racket, absolutely.
It may be the biggest. I think, Congressman Kucinich, that you would still be in Congress. Correct me if I'm wrong. If Ohio hadn't redistricted the districts, and if a lot of this money hadn't flown to the coffers of your opponent, and you may have noticed in recent days the most expensive primary in U.S. history, Congressman Bowman versus AIPAC, and AIPAC won. How do you compete in this kind of a system?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, I've asked people to go to Kucinich.com to make their humble contributions, and we have had that by the thousands, and that's one way to compete. But I think in a Bowman race, I've read that is, a total of maybe 20, over $20 million was spent. Extraordinary amount of money in a congressional race. Let's talk about the elephant in the room here. AIPAC has increasingly inserted itself in Democratic primaries and has been quite successful in electing members and electing to Congress or in keeping in Congress individuals who vote down the line with Israel. Now, this isn't a matter whether you like Israel or not. It's a matter of whether you love America, because the interests of Israel are not identical with the interests of the United States. It's an entirely different country with an entirely different structure. And it, we act as though Israel is us. No, it's not. And so it's extraordinary that AIPAC is permitted to be able to affect the outcome of congressional races in an open way when there is no question that their dedication right now is to helping to keep a war going, a genocide going against the people of Gaza. And there are acolytes of AIPAC who are cheerleading that ethnic cleansing. And when you realize how many people are being killed, it's way beyond the number of, you know, almost 38,000 is being cited. You could probably say it's short by a factor of 8 to 10, because people aren't accounted for. They're just buried under the rubble. How in the world, in this day and age, can anyone with a conscience or a heart look at this and not be repulsed, and not look at those who are actually buying the Congress's silence or complicity, and not have a measure of accountability? How can this be permitted? This is another country taking over the United States. This is clearly the tail wagging the dog. And yet we are expected to, this is normal? No, it's not. You know, it'd be different if there wasn't this, you know, everybody has a chance to advocate for whatever interest, Citizens United changed the whole ball game. But there's a line that's always been drawn about having foreign interests in, you know, interfere in U.S. elections. Famously, Donald Trump was accused of being a tool of Russia, which was, you know, a lie, you know, just a lie. And yet, Israel through AIPAC is manipulating, or Israel's directly manipulating through Netanyahu right now, the White House, by claiming that it's not getting enough of those arms. They're not coming quicker, so they can use them against the Gazans. And then you have AIPAC raising the stakes in every single congressional election. You either fall in line or we're going to put millions of dollars against you.
Yeah.
This is a national scandal of the highest magnitude, where the Congress is bought and sold for by a foreign interest. I mean, what in the world's going on here? And the individuals who then remain in the Congress as a result of this are not dedicated to the United States of America as a first cause, cannot separate the interest of Israel from the United States of America. They're simply reduced to a position of hirelings, and this is a constitutional issue that needs to be dealt with by stopping any foreign interest at all, directly or indirectly, from interfering in the U.S. electoral process.
Dennis, I remember that when you were in the Congress, you made great efforts to hold accountable top officials, Bush and Cheney and gang, who were guilty of the most horrendous crimes. And I think that the Democratic Party, largely the so-called leadership, wouldn't get involved because they were complicit in the same crimes. And the result was that President Obama and President Trump and President Biden felt free to commit similar outrages. And impeachment became something that would be used only for sex or for something partisan that the other party could say they weren't part of. And I remember Dick Cheney and others just openly defying congressional subpoenas. And here we now see Steve Bannon getting locked up for that, which is wonderful. But Why is it only once in a while that you can't defy congressional subpoenas? We have just a few minutes left. What has happened to congressional power and accountability for the White House?
It's gone out the window. The idea of checks and balances is theoretical. It's not really happening. Congress is not functioning as a separate and equal branch of government. It is, and this is to the detriment, the manifest detriment of the people of the United States. The war-making power, which is the Constitution and Article 1, Section 8, vests in the Congress, has been hijacked by one administration after another. And Congress just stands back, keeps giving money, and doesn't really enter into the question of why. How does this happen without the representative of the people signing off? That's what the founders asked for. So I'm running now, David, because, you know, I'm running as an independent. That needs to be made clear. I decided this polarization that's going on between the parties, you know, whether it's dramatic and posed or real, that needs to be set aside. I'm willing to go back to help people talk to one another again, to help people focus on the needs of the American people, to help this country move away from the disaster it's moving towards right now, with a potential nuclear war with Russia, with widened war in the Middle East, and with a confrontation with China over Taiwan. I've always represented a voice, not ideological, but committed to peace, because, you know, war, I've seen, you know, since Korea has been based on so many deceptions and lies, and the American people have repeatedly been the losers, as well as millions of people around the world who were killed in wars that never needed to happen. So, you know, people who need information about my campaign, who want to help in any way, can go to Kucinich.com. I'm taking the banner and making another charge forward here on behalf of a world that we know can exist, on behalf of a higher vision for the America that can be, on behalf of priorities that go beyond war, that go to education and healthcare and jobs and a cleaner environment and on and on and on. But we can't have that as long as we think that the mission of our country is to go blow up the world.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't be more hopeful that you return to Congress and talk this way in the House of Representatives. We need you there, Dennis Kucinich. I recommend people go online to Dennis's campaign website and to his Substack website and follow his work and support what he's doing. Dennis, thank you very, very much for coming on Talk World Radio.
David, thank you. And thank you for the work that you're doing and continually and intellectually and emotionally and spiritually raising these questions about why. Why in the world is America moving forward with continuous wars, and we're losing our way as a nation, and people like you help to keep focused on the direction that needs to be taken. So thank you.
Thank you. Onward. This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. Read or listen to today's Peace Almanac entry at peacealmanac.org. All past shows can be heard at talkworldradio.org. Talk World Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way.